Well, friends, it really is quite a privilege to be here. If I can just say something to you, I was able to join you on Sunday with my family and get to talk to your pastors and the staff and your volunteers a little bit. And I just want to say something to you that I don't say in every place that I go to. I only say it when I see it. But the most encouraging thing for me to see as a pastor who gets to sometimes visit other churches is when you have pastors that love you and don't complain about you, but just gush about you. And when I talk to the people who gush about their pastors, it's just a beautiful complimentary thing that you should really pray to protect with all your hearts. Protect the unity and the love that exists between you and for your pastors and the pastors for you. You don't know how rare and how beautiful that is. So it's an honor to be invited here. We are so thankful for how things are going for Pastor Kim, aren't we? What a blessing. We just want to see him continue to heal. So I'm very grateful to him to be invited out and to meet all of you. Let me pray and ask the Lord to be with us. And then we're going to kind of do a cash kind of overview of what we're going to be covering tonight. I know you have like this monster outline for you, but I promise you it's not going to be overwhelming, okay? Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to be together, Lord, as a church family, as fellow believers. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us tonight. Help us to accomplish your will day by day so that, Lord, we would be further prepared to do your will, Lord, in our regular lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you turn in your... I'm such a church guy. I was about to call it a bulletin. It's a program, okay? If you turn in your program to page 8 there, you'll see just a very basic outline that we're probably not going to thoroughly go through tonight because it relates to tonight and tomorrow. Session 1 and 2 really go together, so don't be intimidated, all right? But I am going to cover just the main idea here in helping you understand what this week is all about, okay? So as Pastor Jason said to you, Psalm 22:11 is really the theme verse for this weekend. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. And tonight I just want to introduce the second part of that, really, the part that says, for trouble is near. Have you ever talked to your teenage daughter and she says to you, you don't understand. In fact, if you have a teenage daughter, you know that every conversation starts out with the phrase, you don't understand. These are the words of a teenage daughter, and they go on to then explain to you what you don't understand. You don't understand the pressures they face at school. You don't understand the strained relationships that are going on in their social circles. You don't understand just the self-anger and hate they feel sometimes when they look in the mirror. But let's not pick on teenage daughters here, shall we? I hear this from everybody. I hear this from countless people as I minister to hurting folks in my church. You don't understand what it's like, they'll say to me. And then that phrase, you don't understand what it's like, is followed by descriptions of deep depression for who knows what at the height of their career. They don't know why they're depressed. And they try to explain it to you, and they're convinced you don't understand. Or maybe they describe to you some crushing anxiety that always seems to be there with only alcohol or some other distraction to numb it. And they say to you, you don't understand what it's like. Or maybe that phrase is followed by a description of obsessive thoughts that seem to grab a hold of their mind and not let them go, driving them to compulsive behaviors that they just can't seem to stop. And they say, you don't understand what it's like. Folks, have you ever used that phrase? Have you ever used that phrase towards the Lord? Most of you are probably well taught enough to know that you should never say that explicitly. But yet, when you read your Bible and when you pray, maybe if you're honest with yourself, you can kind of admit that you do think that about God. Yeah, God can handle like ancient people and talk about circumcision and covenant kingdom-y stuff, but does he really understand those particular things that I go through? Do you trust that the Lord understands the specific troubles of your life? And when I say understands, I don't just mean that he's aware of your troubles. I mean that he really gets them. He understands them. To understand is to be so familiar with something, to know it so thoroughly from every angle that you perceive the meaning behind it, right? That's what it means to understand. So we got to visit Yosemite National Park earlier, or last week, and there were so many things that my eyes were taking in and they were blown away by, but didn't really fully understand. I was looking at granite and I was looking at trees. But if you ask me the specifics of how the granite formed there, what type of rock it was related to, how layering works, all that stuff, I couldn't have given you a penetrating description of the meaning behind that. Same thing with, like, that's a pine tree and that's a leafy tree. And there's dozens of types of pines and dozens of types of leafy trees right there in that valley, and how they all interrelate to each other to create that beautiful environment and the unique setting there. I couldn't explain that because I don't have a penetrating understanding of the meaning behind all of those things. Friends, God understands in that way. He's not just aware of your troubles. He understands in a way that is penetrating, that understands the interrelationship between all of the events and circumstances of your life. His gaze is thorough, it's penetrating. And in fact, here's what I'm going to actually step out on a limb and tell you. He understands your experience of trouble in ways that you do not. Did you get that? He understands your experience in ways that you do not. That's super offensive in our culture. It's super offensive. Because our own personal experience is like this holy grail that we all think that we have. At least this is what our culture teaches us. And so if somebody talks to you in a way that it doesn't square with what you feel and what you think and what you've experienced, you think you're the professional that gets to say, no, that's not my experience. But I'm telling you, the Bible explains your experience in ways that not even you understand. Your troubles at times can be a mystery even to you yourself, aren't they? Aren't you a mystery to yourself sometimes? You feel confused, you feel conflicted, you feel upset. You don't know why you're doing the things that you're doing or thinking the things that you're thinking or behaving in the ways that you're behaving. But I've got amazing news for you this whole weekend. You're a mystery to yourself, but you're not a mystery to God. You're not a mystery to God at all. And the God who understands the complexities of your troubles in the year 2022 has spoken to you in a book of scripture that was handed down in past generations. And in this scripture, he did not set out a catalog of every detail that you're going to experience in your world full of work schedules and cell phones that apparently don't work here. And career demands. He doesn't catalog. That's not what scripture is to you. It doesn't catalog the specifics. And so you maybe tend to think, well, then really, is it useful? It's more useful than if there was a catalog of the specifics that you go through. He sets out to give us in Scripture a more universal knowledge, a knowledge that can be applied across time, across cultures, across geographical locations, across the many seasons of even your own life. Because what he set out to give us in Scripture is a knowledge of himself. And as we understand him, and as we understand how we are supposed to relate to him, that is the means by which we'll have further insight into the troubles of our lives. Folks, Scripture is where you meet God. And meeting God changes the way you see your troubles. Again, that's what this weekend is about. I'm not going to downplay any of the troubles. We're going to talk about specific troubles as we move through the weekend. I'm not going to downplay any of them. In fact, I've given you outlines that show how complex these troubles can be, from anxiety to depression to anger to all these things. They can be super complex. I'm not going to downplay any of that. But what I do want to show you is that all that complexity still gets related up to the chief reason you were created, and that is to know God. And all the things that all the troubles we experience are disruptions of that goal. And Scripture is the means by which we are going to see that. So again, I chose a very simple verse as the opening epigraph for these first two talks, right? Be not far from me, for trouble is near. And that one little verse crystallizes two of the most precious characteristics of Scripture. The first is that it speaks to us in our trouble, real trouble. It says trouble is near. This little intro tonight is my way of acknowledging that God talks to you in the reality of your trouble. Folks, you should love your Bibles because it's not a fantasy book. We also went to Disneyland, by the way. When you walk through Fantasyland, you're like disillusioned at the fantasy, because it's like, okay, pink teacups and like spinning Dumbos. Like, this is bizarre. This is weird. This is a fantasy. It doesn't square with your real life. That's why you go to Disneyland, okay? But the Bible doesn't do that. It doesn't give you a fantasy. It never, ever scrubs or sanitizes the way it talks about life. And you should trust it in part because of that. So we can trust Scripture because it talks about troubles in real ways. And then the second precious truth captured in that little epigraph that we have here is that in our trouble, we request and God answers. He draws near to us. And here's what I want you to get this weekend. He draws near to you in unique ways, not generically, uniquely. He gives grace and mercy to help specific to the trouble. He knows. And part of what's tested in your faith by these troubles is exactly that. Does God know? And is his grace sufficient even for this? So let me close actually by just reading our main idea from that first outline. You have it there in front of you. Scripture does not describe in detail every trouble we experience in life. It does something better. It provides the larger story of why we experience personal trouble and how each trouble can point us back to the Lord. So starting tomorrow, we're going to look at a couple key passages in Scripture that give this larger story. And guess what? We're going to start in a really, really sad part, Genesis 3. We're going to start looking at that. And Genesis 3 is about the fall of mankind into sin. And we all know what sin is. But what might surprise you as we look at it tomorrow is I want to bring out a detail that is often overlooked. And that a consequence of sin is not merely punishment for that sin, though that's very definitely clearly there. And we have to uphold that because we need salvation from that punishment by the blood of Jesus Christ. But another thing that gospel I just said accomplishes is it brings reconciliation from a key feature of this fall that we often overlook, we're going to talk about tomorrow, and that feature is estrangement. It's a weird word, isn't it? It's to be a stranger. It's to be alienated. It means to be distanced from what you're not supposed to be distanced from. And that theme is going to be a major underlying theme to how we understand all the troubles of our life. You are estranged from creation. You are estranged from even the people that you love and are associated with. You are estranged from the God who made you to know him. That is part of how we experience all of the troubles of our lives. They're related to that. So that's what we're going to unpack. And then we're going to get to the good news about how Jesus Christ reconciles. He reverses that estrangement, and he establishes for us the ability to now experience our troubles in a very different way. Because what Satan meant for evil, what sin means for evil, God intends for good, to unite us to him through the gospel of Jesus Christ in ways that Adam and Eve couldn't have even dreamed of. Okay? So that's what we're going to cover this week, my friends. And I hope to leave you with the kind of encouragement that's substantive. Okay? What I mean by that is, I want you to hear the bad news, and I want you to hear the complexity of the troubles that come from that bad news, so that when we get to the good news, it actually means something. And when we talk about what it means to trust God, I want to put some meat to that and help you really be able to carry that into your normal lives. Okay? That's the goal. Okay? So can I pray and ask the Lord to help us with that goal this weekend? Father, will you help us with that goal this weekend, Lord? We are strangers on our own, and yet, Lord, you have reconciled us in Christ, and so we need your help. Lord, so be near us, because trouble is also near. But Father, our ultimate hope is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.